Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 14, Text, Madhya Lila Chapter 1, Text 14. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Bhakti Kari Shri Dari Tanhara Charan. Sesha Lilara Sutra Gana Kariya Varnana. Placing his lotus feet upon my head, in great devotion, I shall now describe in summary the Lord's final pastimes. Om Vijnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Mulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Sapadantikam Abhadanastanandante Idam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Boja Tulisham Janma Janmani Vairagya Yud Bhakti Rasham Payatnai Apayam Mamana Vipsamandam Kripam Budhiya Paraduki Duki Sanatanastam Prabhumastriyami Panchakalpa Tarubhyasta Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Vidadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Amritananda Prabhu, are you there?
Yes, Maharaj, done with Harishi Prabhu.
Okay, now I'm doing mine by cell phone, and it's in a place where generally I don't get such good reception. So if somehow during the class it becomes a little bit distorted, then you know, just come in and let me know, and then I'll just get on the landline. Okay.
Okay, Maharaj.
It sounds okay now.
Yes, Maharaj, it's clear.
Okay. Okay, so greetings from the Sun's Falls in upstate New York, by the kindness of Sachi Sutta Prabhu, I have a place to stay or base myself in my travels. It's about 2 hours north of New York City, quite a very beautiful place. And I stay in a place which is called the Swami Barn. So I'm at my desk. My books are here. So let's see if we can do something. Of course, this is the day after the celebration of Gaur Purnima, which I celebrated in Hartford, Connecticut, with my godbrother, P.R.A. Mohan, who for, I guess, over 30 years has been maintaining a steady program of Krishna consciousness in their center. And I've come back, I think, what is it, a week or it a week or 2 weeks ago? I don't remember. But almost 2 weeks ago, and I also was fortunate to speak about Lord Chaitanya in Second Avenue. And it's so nice. They have Prabhupada's, the way they set it up now is the asasana to Srila Prabhupada, to give more room, is against the back wall. And above Prabhupada is a picture of Nitai Gaura Chandra, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So you really feel when you're speaking there so well connected. You could feel the mercy of Lord Chaitanya descending through Srila Prabhupada and praying that you could actually represent them in their mission. And especially I was very enlivened to speak on one verse about Lord Nityananda. This is very nice. This is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and as I think I spoke last week, we're getting to associate with his mood, and that's so wonderful in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya, the life force, Charita, the character, Amrita, and immortality, basically the eternal nature of the soul. And I quote so many, I think in every class I ever give, it's my favorite statement by Srila Prabhupada, where he says in the Bhagavad Gita, in that, in the purport to the verse, Samaham Sabhavati, the Megrishas, the Nathriya, Prabhupada says that the perfected state of the living entity is called a devotee. So actually, that's what we are. Everything else besides being a devotee is external to the self. And ultimately, liberation means muktir idva yata rupam sarupena vivastita. Liberation means muktir idva yata rupam. Everything that's external to the soul. And you accept the real nature of the soul. I think someone just got on and maybe didn't mute their phone. Okay. So you can mute your phone. Maybe it's my phone.
Guru Maharaj, it's Reti Krishna. It sounds like you're breaking up.
It's me. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't understand a word you just said, but okay.
I'm going to do that.
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Does that sound
better?
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. How much of my class was broken up?
I could hear you clearly, Maharaj.
Okay. Anyway, now I'm kind of have to hold the phone. I lost my train of thought, but hopefully by Krishna's grace. So I was talking about, we're associating with Krishnadas Kaviraj, and that we're introduced to the mood of a devotee, which is basically the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because it's Chaitanya, the life force, Charita, the character, Amrita, in immortality. And then I mentioned how, as Prabhupada said in the Bhagavad Gita, one of my favorite statements in the purport to the verse, Samaham Sarvabhute Shu Name Bhakta, he said the perfected state of the living entity is called the devotee. So this is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. The whole Chaitanya Charitamrita is the perfectional state. We see the devotees who have taken shelter that their realization is that is they're fully surrendered to Krishna. Okay, I'm praying to Krishna here. I can get back into some train of thought. So I was speaking, also mentioning in how nice it was to speak in Second Avenue, and I was particularly speaking on this verse, and I'll go back to where we were today. We'll get to it. I offer innumerable obeisances unto the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, who is so kind that he spread the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. So I was mentioning that this is Krishna Das Kaviraj Rasika Bhaktamaj. He's the topmost devotee. And the topmost devotee who is able to conceptualize and express the deepest and most confidential subject matter about the Supreme Absolute Reality, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, he's Koti Namaskar. He's offering unlimited obeisances to Nityananda. Why? Because he spread the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. So it was so nice speaking about this in Second Avenue, because just mentioning it, it automatically implies that even the great acharyas, they're offering Koti Namaskar to Srila Prabhupada because he's so kind that he has also spread the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. In fact, in a way that was unprecedented. So how much mercy and how much happiness Srila Prabhupada is giving to the Rasika Vaishnavas in Vrindavan, in the eternal Vrindavan, as he's spreading the love of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna all over the world. And he's so kind to do that. So we're reading of Krishna Das Kaviraj. We're associating with him. I should mention one thing that I'm doing with this class, and I hope it works, is when I was in Vrindavan, I was doing a different class on a different subject, a different chapter on Wednesday and a different chapter on Sunday. Now I'm just speaking continuously, but I think it'll work out if because naturally whenever I speak, I try to put things in context, so I go back a little bit. So this is the beginning of the Madhya Lila and Krishna Das Kaviraj. Is putting himself, or not putting himself, he's just expressing his mood, which is the mood of one who is empowered to do devotional service. When you're empowered to do devotional service, you're allowing Krishna to work through you. And you're feeling that what you're doing, that the credit is actually Krishna, although you're being used. And I gave the example, it's just like a knife that's very sharp. It does very wonderful things, but it's moved by some artist, some other power. So the devotee is feeling that way, although he may have particular abilities and qualities, just like the knife may be very, very sharp and it may have a handle that you can hold in the proper way, and therefore it's suitable for the work. The work is actually being done by another power. And in terms of us, unlike the knife, we have the ability, whether or not we want to be used or not by that higher power. The knife is inert. We're sentient. So we have that choice whether or not we can be used. And to do great things in devotional service, we have to be surrendered to being used by Krishna. And then whatever qualities we have, whether they are managerial or literary or whatever talents we have, then those talents can be used very wonderfully in Krishna's service. Not only wonderfully in Krishna's service, but beyond our own personal abilities, because we're anyway, being used by Krishna. Anyway, so this mood of Krishna Das Kaviraj, it's very wonderful to associate with. And if we hear his words and associate with his words, then his mood will come into our heart. And this is one of the main ways we advance in spiritual life, and this is why Srila Prabhupada gave us these books, so that we can associate with the great souls. And to associate with a great soul is to associate with their consciousness and their mood. And their consciousness and mood is expressed through their words, which are written in these books. I was mentioning before when I went to a seminar by Satchinandana Swami, and he was talking about something about meditation or sadhana, how standard practices of meditation, the first thing you do is bring the image of your guru and your Ishtadev and your great souls and your consciousness, and by bringing that image into your consciousness, then automatically you become affected by their qualities. And he gave just a simple example of a young teenager who, in their room, they have posters of movie stars, they have posters of athletes, and just by those images of forms, the movie star represents a certain consciousness. It's a manifestation of sex life in a particular form. You could look at the picture of the movie star, and it represents to you a particular desire that you want fulfilled, or some sportsman, a particular ego or something. And when you look at those particular forms, the young teenager, he becomes sexually agitated, or he becomes athletically egoistic, or whatever these personalities represent. So by reading these books, we're not just taking the form which represents a particular mood, but in the words, that mood itself is embodied. And just to hear and associate with their particular bhava, then that bhava comes to us. So we're very fortunate, and this is the mood of Krishna Das Kaviraj, writing transcendental literature, and he understands that this is he has to describe what's practically inconceivable, and therefore he needs mercy. In the previous class, I wrote down something about why this humility is required to write about transcendental subject matters, and why someone who's going to write about transcendental subject matters talks humble language and tries to identify with that language to put himself in that mood. It's both an expression of their mood naturally, but at the same time, the expression of humility, which may be coming from their heart, increases their humility. It's just like in rasa theory, there's a term called anubhav. And anubhav means the actions that come from your feelings of devotion. For example, let's say one is in the presence of Prabhupada. So in the presence of Prabhupada, he feels the mood of servitude. But then from that mood of servitude comes the actions of servitude. You pay your obeisances. But the action of servitude, of paying your obeisances, is not just an action. It's just not a physical action. It's a bhava or emotion in itself, which will increase your servitude. So in the same way, these great souls who are qualified to write such transcendental literature, they're naturally humble. And from that humble heart comes expressions of humility. But those expressions of humility increase their mood of humility even more. So it's so natural that he's going to glorify, as all Mangalacharans do, because this is the process of writing transcendental literature. You worship the spiritual master, you worship the devotees, and you worship the Supreme Lord. So we were reading Krishna Das Kaviraj's his ecstasies as he's just glorifying and worshiping the devotees. And I always quote from my godbrother Parthasarathi, it's the greatest wealth and greatest treasure he gave is to share one of his realizations with me. And I quote it often that he told me we advance by mercy. Mercy comes from the great souls, and the conduit for that mercy is our worship and glorification of them. Because mercy needs a certain gravity to fall down, and therefore the Vaishnava puts the object of mercy by glorification. He puts the object of mercy in a very high place so that the force of that mercy will be felt even more strongly by him. And he feels he needs that to actually write such subject matters. So he glorified Lord Chaitanya. Then he glorified these beautiful verses by Krishna Das. I believe they're written by him. These beautiful verses like Sriman Rasa Rasaram Bivam Shri Bhata Tatasti Takarshan Venu Sanai Gopir Gopinatha. May Gopinathji, who attracts all the gopis with the song of his flute and who has begun the most melodious rasa dance on the bank of the Jamuna and Vamsi, be merciful upon us. Be merciful upon us. I was thinking in the Bhagavatam when Maharaj Prickett asked Sukadeva Goswami to describe the process of creation. It's inconceivable, the process of creation. We can understand there's a creator, but the process of actually how these particular worlds manifest. And what is his response? His response is to glorify the Supreme Lord again and again with the entreaty, please decorate my statements. Please decorate my statements. Please decorate my statements. So he's glorifying the presiding deity of Sambandhagyan, Madan Mohan, the presiding deity of Abhidayagyan, Govindaji, the presiding deity of Prayojan again, Gopinathji, and then he glorifies all the devotees, his ecstasy, Jaya Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Srivas Adi Jaya, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. And then he in this humble mood, then before he has written this biography, Vrindavan Das Thakur, incarnation of Veda Vyas, he has written the biography of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you see his mood. His mood is so much to give respect to the previous Acharya Vrindavan Das Thakur, and he's in the mood, only on his orders. I'm trying to chew the remnants of food that he has left. I'll describe in a synopsis that portion where Vrindavan Das Thakur, whatever, I shall describe. So he's in a very, and then he says, placing his lotus feet upon my great devotion, I'll describe in summary the Lord's final pastimes. So this is the mood of, there's so much respect and so much faith, and that faith is a faculty of the consciousness that is necessary to assimilate knowledge. And therefore, this is at one time I was talking to our my wonderful godbrother Pradyumna about this, and he was talking that the culture of scholarship is in such a humble mood. And it's not, as Prabhupada said, Muni, where you try to establish a new philosophy, but rather you're begging. He said, the lotus feet, placing lotus feet upon my head, Vrindavan, in great devotion, I shall describe, chewing the remnants that he left. Pradyumna said such an interesting thing. He said, even in the Bhagavatam, he said, there may sometimes in Bhagavatam, he said, even in verses, there may be what appears to be a grammatical or mistake or something like that, he was telling me. And he said, whenever the commentators come upon what appears to be a grammatical mistake or something like that, from one of the previous acharyas, or even one of the texts, they never say, this is wrong with ego. Rather, they say, he said, they write, he said in the commentaries, they said, this verse should be like this. Then he said, Rishi Uchu, the acharyas said, the sages said. He said, the sages said. In other words, they won't say it's wrong. They'll say, you know, this should be, this, you know, the way it is in, you know, Pantanjali grammar is this, the sages said. They'll never say it's wrong. Just to keep the faculty of learning, which is shraddha or faith, prominent in the consciousness, so they can assimilate transcendental knowledge. In that regard, I'll tell you just an interesting story, maybe some remnants of Vrindavan. I met one devotee that I became friends with in Vrindavan, and he was a Westerner, but somehow or other, he, 25 years ago, joined the Vallabha Sampradaya, which is, you know, even Bhakti Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami says that Raghunuga Bhakti is also called Pushti Marg, and that's by the Vallabhas. So there's some authentic respect, even in our line, for the Vallabhas, although there's some difference. And it's also discussed in Chaitanya Charitamrita how Vallabha how Lord Chaitanya met Vallabha. At this point, the same point is being made. He invited me for lunch, and you know, he's himself knows Sanskrit, and he's lived in Vrindavan for 25 years. So I just before I left, I went to take lunch with him. And when I went to take lunch with him, what he cooked for his deities, then he told me, I went into his room and kind of sleeping there, or lying down there, was, he said, this is the greatest Vallabha Bhagavatam scholar. You know, he said he knows all 18,000 verses of the Bhagavata. So I was there, I was with one brahmachari with me, and this Vallabha kind of got up, and he was a real Vrindavan Mathura Basi, Mathura Brahmin, very heavy set, shaved head with a saffron sandalwood paste all over the top of his head. And somehow, I don't know how it came, but and it had to be translated to me, he started speaking about this point, because he's a Vallabha, how when because in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastises Vallabha for saying that Sridhar Swami was wrong. He chastised him for saying Sridhar Swami was wrong. And so this person, he was a Vallabha, so he started explaining and saying, no, he said, when Vallabha criticized Sridhar Swami, the commentator of the Bhagavatam, Vallabha was correct. Vallabha was right. And then he explained to me the point that the Vallabhas, that Vallabha, and it had to do with the 10 subject matters of the Bhagavatam. So this is the argument he gave me. He said, well, there are 10 subject matters of the Bhagavatam, he said. But where do you see the first subject matter is creation? Atra sargas visargas das tatir poshanam utaya ishakanta manvatara narodha muktir asraya. That there are 10 subject matters in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and the first is creation. He said, but creation is in the third canto. It's not in the first canto. We see creation in the first canto, he says. It's in the third canto. He says there, he said the first canto, and he said that represents adhikarya, qualification, and the second canto refers to sadhana, and the third canto begins the Bhagavatam, because that's where creation begins. And then he said, therefore, and he had a whole different explanation. Of course, I had to be very polite and respectful in that particular situation, but anyway, we have our arguments, and Jiva Goswami gave those arguments. But the main thing is the culture. The main thing is, I could give the arguments very convincingly why our view is right, but I don't think I have the time now to develop that. But the point is that Sridhar Swami was the previous Acharya, and most of the commentaries of the Bhagavatam by any of the six Goswamis, they're based on Sridhar Swamis. And therefore, the culture is not to say Sridhar Swami is wrong, or it's so much respect. So we see the mood of a Vaishnava. So he's glorifying, and then he's glorifying Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, all the associates, and then Vrindavan Das Thakur. And then in a very, very humble way, he's not thinking that he's surpassing him, but he's feeling on his order. And a Vaishnava writes transcendental literature in that mood. He does it for others. It just like in the beginning of the Bhakti Sandarbha and all the Sandarbhas, Jiva Goswami, he mentions very, very clearly, I'm doing this for Rupa and Sanatan. He's doing it in the mood of service. And it's so important to approach any great accomplishment, any accomplishment that one is to undertake, in the mood of service. Because if one doesn't approach it in the mood of service from the very, very beginning and put himself in the mood of service, in the mood that this is for others and this is done on order, if he doesn't put himself in that mood, then the danger is, especially if one is talented literary or managerially, and he has an immense task to do. Look at this task of writing the Chaitanya Charitamrita. If one doesn't put himself in that humble Vaishnav mood, no matter what task or what duty he's undergoing, then the nature is for whatever he is doing to be used by the false ego. And the false ego is, I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. And therefore, Lord Brahma, when he's creating the material universes, it's his service for Krishna, but he's thinking, my God, look what I will have to do. How to do this and not become entangled by false ego, the concept that I am the doer and I am the controller. And in response to that question, the Bhagavatam is spoken. You need transcendental knowledge. You need to be in the mood of service. The mood, I'm doing this under order. The mood that I'm doing this for others. And the mood that it can only be done if Krishna empowers one and works through him. So this is his mood. And now, establishing that mood, he's now going to describe in summary the Lord's final pastimes. So I'm going to read on, praying that Krishna allows me to speak something today. Chabish Patsara Prabhur Griha Avastana Tahanye Karila Lila Arilila Nam. For 24 years, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained at home. And whatever pastimes he performed during that time were called the Adi Lila. So now it's going to be a description of his Lila and how it's divided. Because after all, Krishnas Kaviraj is a great devotee, but he's a scholar. And a scholar, when he speaks, he puts things in the proper context so that we can understand them properly. We always understand things better when they're put in the proper context. So what is this Madhya Lila that he's going to speak on? Where is it placed in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life? So he said 24 years he remained at home, and that's the Adi Lila, which was just finished. Shabish Vatsarasesha Yemagamas Tara Shukla Pakshi Prabhu Karila Sanyas. At the end of his 24th year in the month of Magh, during the fortnight of the waxing moon, the Lord accepted the renounced order of life, sannyas. So at the end of the 24th year, exactly in his half, because he lives 48 years, then he takes sannyas. After accepting sannyas, Lord Chaitanya remained within this material world for another 24 years. Within this period, whatever pastimes he enacted are called sesha lila, or pastimes occurring at the end. So basically, there's two divisions of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. There's Adi Lila, up until he took sannyas, that's 24 years, and then the last 24 years are called Seisha Lila. Seisha Lila Madhya Antya Duina Mahoy, Lila Beda Vaishnav Sabha Nama Beda Hoy. The final pastimes of the Lord occurring in his last 24 years are called Madhya and Antya. All the devotees of the Lord refer to his pastimes according to these divisions. So, of this Seisha Lila, this end Lila of 24 years, it has another two divisions. The first, he's going to describe this, they're called Madhya and Antya. The first 6 years when he travels and preaches and visits all the holy places, that's called Madhya. And the last 18 years are called Antya. So the Seisha Lila has these two divisions. So he's putting everything in context. And I will just read. Tara Madhye Choya Vatsa Guna Nagama Nila Chala Goda Seta Banda Vrindavana. For 6 years of the last 24, that's the first 6 years, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled all over India from Jagannath Puri to Bengal, and from Cape Comoran to Vrindavan. So of this Antya Lila, his Antya Lila, is the time of his life to fulfill the purpose for his descent. And the purpose for the descent of Lord Sri Chaitanya is Krishna wanting to adopt the mood of the devotee to teach devotional service and to relish devotional service. If we discuss it's mentioned in the Adi Lila, what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? It's Krishna who came to this world in his pastimes to relish prema and to distribute spontaneous devotional service. And his mission was not fully complete because to both teach and relish devotional service, you have to also, to do it properly, you have to do it from the perspective of a devotee. So the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, he's the object of the devotee's love. He is the beloved of the devotees, and the devotee is the lover of God. So to fully relish prema, you also have to take the position of the devotee. And to fully teach prema, you have to take the position of a devotee. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially the second part of his life, to teach devotional service in the first 6 years, he travels all over, and to relish devotional service, he settles in Puri. All the pastimes performed by the Lord in those places are known as the Madhya Lila, and whatever pastimes are performed after that are called the Antya Lila. The pastimes of the Lord are therefore divided into three periods, the Adi Lila, Madhya Lila, and Antya Lila. Now I shall very elaborately describe the Madhya Lila. So this is the Madhya Lila Volume 1. So this is how he introduces the subject. And now he's going to describe it, and I guess I'll go on from that. anyway, I'm praying that somehow I may be of service to all the devotees and something may come through me. I'm not yet feeling fully connected, but maybe just reading these verses and praying, I may be used as an instrument to explain something. Ashtadasa Varsha Kevala Nilachala Stati Apaneyachari Jiva Sikala Bhakti. For 18 continuous years, Lord Chaitanya remained at Jagannath Puri and through his personal behavior instructed all living entities in the mode of devotional service. So for the last 18 years, he was in Puri, and he had a room near the Jagannath temple called the Gambira, and he was, Krishna was fulfilling in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the internal reason for his appearance. He has an external reason. External reason means what he does for others, and that's to spread the Premanam. It's not just the name of Krishna, it's the Premanam. He described very nice in the CC. It's the Nam which has a thread of Prema that's woven through that Nam. And that Prema, that Nam, it's the chanting for Krishna, that's Goloka Premadan Harinam Sankirtan, that's descending directly from Goloka Vrindavan. And if we read in the Bhagavatam, we can see that the activity of the Bhagavatam is to chant Krishna's name, but to chant Krishna's name with great feeling. And if we were reading in Vrindavan, the pastimes of Krishna as he enters the forest of Vrindavan, as he comes back from the forest of Vrindavan, he's surrounded by the cowherd boys who are chanting his name appropriately with deep affection. That's the Premnam of the spiritual world. And the gopis are chanting the name of Krishna in the mood of great separation. I described that some of the great acharyas, when they describe the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, it's Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Krishna, Krishna, is the mood of Srimati Radharani in separation from Krishna. Radharani is Krishna, Krishna. She's in the mood of separation and she's calling for Krishna. Hare, Hare. And that's the mood of Krishna in separation from Radharani. So this is the Premnam. It's the holy name of the spiritual world, where the devotees are calling for Krishna in great mood of separation. And it's imbued with this sentiment. So this holy name, the Premanam, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to distribute. And he traveled around. And then the last 18 years in Gambira, it says here very nicely, he instructed living entities in the mode of devotional service. So what was his mode of devotional service? It was Raghunuga Bhakti. It was total absorption in the desire to follow the sentiments of the residents of Vrindavan. So his sentiment was the mood of Srimati Radharani, because it's the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna taking the mood of Radharani. It's described that we're reading this about the Gadadhar. It's a very interesting point, the Panchatattva. Gadadhar represents Bhakti Shakti. He represents Radharani. So the question is always asked in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, if Gadadhar is representing Radharani, then why does Gadadhar have a very, very submissive mood? He's exceptionally submissive. And that isn't Radharani's mood. So how is Gadadhar in the mood of Radharani? And in many ways this has been described, because you understand that what is the mood of Radharani? The mood of Radharani is the service of Krishna. And when you serve someone, you try to fulfill their particular desire. So what is Krishna's desire taking the mood, the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? The desire of Krishna in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to take the mood of Radharani. So if Gadadhar comes as Radharani to assist Krishna, and Gadadhar exhibits the mood of Radharani, then Krishna will not be able to take the mood of Radharani. He'll have to stay in the mood of Krishna. If Gadadhar comes and externally manifests the deep sentiments of Radharani, then Krishna will not be inspired to take the sentiments of Radharani. He'll be inspired to take the mood of Krishna to associate with Radharani. And and therefore, Gadadhar comes in a very, very humble, doesn't manifest the mood of Radharani to assist Krishna in the mood of Gauranga to get that mood. And how else does he assist Gauranga? If we see, what does Gadadhar do in Puri? Gadadhar stays taking care of the Tota Gopinath deity, and every day he speaks Bhagavatam. And every day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to listen to Gadadhar speak Bhagavatam. So what is Gadadhar doing? It's the mood, it's Radharani to serve Krishna. And he's serving Krishna how? Serving Krishna by teaching him the mood of Radharani. And how do you teach him the mood of Radharani? The mood of Radharani is the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is the mood of pure devotional service. It's the mood of selfless service. It's the mood of Srimati Radharani. So Radharani comes as Gadadhar, doesn't exhibit the mood of Radharani, but instead teaches the mood of Radharani through the Bhagavatam. Anyway, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's coming and he's led to teach the mode of devotional service. So the mode of devotional service is what? In higher states, you're aspiring for the sentiments of the residents of Vrindavan, and in a higher state of consciousness, you're even particularly aspiring for a particular, not just the sentiment of the resident of Vrindavan, but a specific resident of Vrindavan that corresponds to your eternal nature with Krishna that begins to awaken. So how do you practice that devotional service? Lord Chaitanya taught us in the Gambhira. And how did he practice it? He chanted the holy name of Krishna. He chanted that name in great separation. And that sentiment was nourished how? By Sarup Damodar, who sung appropriate songs of bhakti to nourish that sentiment, and Ramananda Roy, who spoke appropriate leelas and pastimes and philosophy to nourish that sentiment. So the last 18 years, Lord Chaitanya, it said specifically, he was staying in Puri. Why? Apani, personally, achari, behaving. Why? To sikhaila bhakti the jiva, to personally instruct the jiva in devotional service. So Prabhupada gave us everything, because in the Antya Lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's elaborately described how devotional service is performed as one advances even to the more advanced stages of Krishna consciousness. So those last 18 years, the Antya Lila, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's for himself. Yes, it's the internal reason for himself. And what is the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? It's Krishna. He wants to get the mood of his topmost devotee to complete his enjoyment of prema. But in doing that, he's also teaching one how they can also perfect their life in devotional service as they advance to, you know. And then Tara Madhye Chaya Vatsara Bhakti Gana Shange Prema Bhakti Pavartaila Nitya Gita Range of these 18 years at Jagannath Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent 6 years with his many devotees. By chanting and dancing, he introduced the loving service of the Lord. So this Anchalila, this Seisha Lila, it's complete. It's complete. Because the process is tasting and distributing. So he introduced, how did he introduce the loving service of the Lord? By chanting and dancing. So those 6 years, he just engaged in chanting and dancing and traveling. And he introduced others to the loving service of the Lord. And then the last 18 years, after one is introduced to the loving service of the Lord, he showed him how to cultivate that to the highest degree by absorbing oneself in the kirtans and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Now, what's going to happen next, and I don't think I'll be able to get it to today because I got to wind up. I'll just begin. Nityananda Gosanira Patila Gora Deshe Tenho Gora Deshe by Shala Prema Rase. Lord Sri Chaitanya sent Nityananda from Jagannath Puri to Bengal, which is known as Gora Desh, and Lord Nityananda overflooded that country with transcendental loving service of the Lord. So now Lord Nityananda is going to be glorified. And Lord Nityananda is Balaram, and Balaram has a very special position. And the position of Balaram, I got this from reading this, the position of Balaram is what? Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, and what is Krishna enjoying? He's enjoying rasa, which means the loving relationships with his devotees, perfected relationships which nourish and which nourish and heighten love, which is its internal potency, Ladini Shakti, his pleasure potency, to the highest degree. But he expands his Balaram, who's non-different than he expands his Balaram, and Balaram serves Krishna in all affairs of existence and knowledge. It means all creations, from Dwarka to Vaikuntha to the material worlds of Vishnu, this all Balaram and expansions of Balaram and all knowledge, Guru Tattva, that's Balaram. He's simply so that the Supreme Absolute Reality can enjoy the highest pleasure, then Balaram does all the work and all the affairs of existence and knowledge. So similarly, we'll see with Lord Nityananda, so that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can fulfill the internal reason for his descent, which is to enjoy this rasa and cultivate this mood of Srimati Radharani, because after all, that's the purpose of Krishna coming as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Krishna wants to relish the position of his devotee. Because the devotee has three experiences of pleasure that God doesn't have. And the three experiences of pleasure that even God doesn't have is that the devotee can relish love of God. And the devotee can relish and experience the beauty of God. And the devotee can experience the happiness of feeling God's love. So, this loba, Krishna develops this greed, I want the position of the devotee. And therefore, in his last 18 years, he is getting this position by cultivating it by devotional service and showing us how we also can achieve the perfectional state of devotion. But at the same sense, to do that, then the external mission, to give Krishna consciousness to others, is carried out by his direct expansion of Lord. This is Balaram is allowing Krishna to enjoy his rasa in Vrindavan by doing all the work of knowledge and existence. Similarly, Lord Nityananda is carrying out all the services. He goes and he preaches and spreads Krishna consciousness so that Lord Chaitanya can fulfill the internal reason for his descent. So, anyway, now it'll be very, very wonderful because this is going to be so much appreciated by Krishna Das Kaviraj. He's so much going to appreciate Lord Nityananda who, with Koti Namaskar, as I mentioned, because he's so kind. He's spreading the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu all over the world. And therefore, if one actually wants to achieve perfection, if you want the love of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, Narottam Das Thakur says, by diving deep into the Sankirtan mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one arrives on the shore of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. And it's a very wonderful thing. To get the mercy of Radha and Krishna, you have to get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, you have to chant the name of Gaura. And therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote this wonderful song, Ekbar Dekli Chakshi Jal Gaura Bolo Nitai Den Sakala Sambhav. It goes, Echal Dakshi. He said, if Lord Nityananda sees just one tear welling in the eye of one who chants, just once chants the name of Lord Gauranga, Nitai Den Sakala, Lord Nityananda gives him all Sakala, all spiritual opulences. He gives him the teachings of Krishna, everything comes. Ekchar, Chuckley, anyway, sometimes my brain's not working today so well. I actually, anyway, no excuses. It's traveling. Anyway, we'll end today.